Did I offer peace today? Did I bring a smile to someone's face? Did I say words of healing? Did I let go of my anger and resentment? Did I forgive? Did I love? These are the real questions. I must trust that the little bit of love that I have sown now will bear many fruits here in the world and the life to come. Those are the words of Henry Nouwen. They're printed in your bulletins as well as a reflection. And I offer that because they give us a way of engaging with real questions. I'm going to continue on with some wise words. This is from Richard Rohr. Blessed are those who hunger for justice. Blessed are those who hunger for thirst and justice. For they shall have their fill. That's from Matthew 5, verse 6. This beatitude is surely both spiritual and social. Most Bibles to this day soften the beatitude to hunger and thirst for what is right, or, quote unquote, for righteousness, are the more common faulty translations. But the word in Greek clearly means justice. Notice that the concept of justice is used halfway through the Beatitudes and again at the very end. This couplet emphasizes an important point. To live a just life in this world is to identify with the longings and hungers of the poor, the meek, and those who weep. This identification and solidarity is in itself a profound form of social justice. My friend John Deere, who has spent his life in the struggle against the injustice of violence, writes about this beatitude. Righteousness is not just the private practice of doing good. It sums up the global responsibility of the human community to make sure every human being has what they need, that everyone pursues a fair sense of justice for every other human being, and that everyone lives in right relationship with one another, creation, and God. Jesus instructs us to be passionate for social, economic, and racial justice. That's the real meaning of the Hebrew word for justice and the Jewish insistence on it. Resist systemic, structured, institutionalized injustice with every bone in your body, with all your might, with your very soul, he teaches. Seek justice as if it were your food and drink, your bread and water, as if it were a matter of life and death, which it is. Within our relationship to the God of justice and peace, those who give their lives to that struggle, Jesus promises, will be satisfied. How do we hunger and thirst for justice? By making global justice a priority in our lives. This beatitude requires us to join a grassroots movement that fights one or two issues of injustice and to get deeply involved in the struggle. Since all issues of injustice are connected, fighting one injustice puts us squarely in the struggle against every injustice. As Martin Luther King Jr. said over and over again, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Befriend the victims of systemic injustice, side with them, listen to their stories, let their pain break your heart. Join the movements to end injustice. Tithe your money to the cause and commit yourself to the struggle. While it may take a long time, our nonviolent persistence and truth-telling will eventually win out and bear the good fruit of justice. Truth is on our side, God on the side of justice. The arc of the moral universe is long, Martin Luther King Jr. said famously, but it bends towards justice. Does anyone know what theological intersections are? Signification? They're a challenge, and they are complex. I've read books on it, and I can't precisely give you a very concise, detail-oriented overview. But I can tell you what the basics are and where this comes from. Intersectional theology is complex basically because it involves any possible reason why someone may not like you. There are many. Skin color, ethnicity, gender orientation, outward displays of wealth or the lack thereof, political identity. Those are just some of the complex issues we all face. Bless you. And we've all experienced that to some degree in our lives because we exist as human beings in a physical body. Here we are in the City of Angels, Los Angeles, one of the most diverse cities on the planet. And yet this signification, or intersectionality, if you choose that, is largely based upon very superficial criteria about why we can't get along so well with one another, with our spiritual brothers and sisters. So what Jesus is doing in this story, and the reason why I'm lifting this up, in that one verse, the entire city came out to be healed by Jesus. The entire city, you can imagine that. Everyone, every walk of life, coming to be healed. What was it about that moment, that quality, that everyone just simply showed up to be healed? I think if we're going to heal the intersections of life, part of that is simply becoming aware of whenever this labeling of, quote unquote, the other happens in our own thoughts. Very real example. Anytime we're at a physical intersection, we have plenty of roads and freeways here in Los Angeles. We probably spend a fair amount of time waiting at a stoplight for that light to go. When you have those moments, I invite this as a daily spiritual practice, something that you can put into play today, because I'm guessing that most of you, I know possibly one exception, got here by a motorized vehicle. Some of you have no bike here. So that means we all have opportunities in our vehicle at an intersection, a physical intersection, to simply sit there, and we have these long lights here, to simply scan our inner being. Where are we? Are we ready to get to the next place, or can we enjoy the stillness of that moment? Can we check in there? And if it's a really long light, I invite us to all try this one. Simply scan the physical intersection and look around and see if anything or person triggers us and why. What happens? What is happening in that? There's also a psychological component there about anything that irritates us about something else is usually triggered because there's something in us that needs healing, needs to be worked on. Now, if we have that awareness, that is a challenge on its own. Simply to become aware and self-aware that this is happening and operating within our psyche, within our own being. How did we arrive at this moment? Here in the history of California, being one of the most culturally diverse, ethnically diverse places on the planet, and I want to share a little bit about my recent journey on to Pacific School of Religion, which I'm proud of. I went there for my master's degree, I'm working on my doctoral ministry. And it was the first seminary west of Mississippi. And the reason why it was established on the West Coast is because a growing group of people realized that you can't simply have seminary training on the East Coast happen and export it to the West Coast. This has to be an organic West Coast phenomenon. The other thing that happens in the light of the history of Pacific School of Religion as the first seminary west of the Mississippi is the context of the times in which it was formed. It was shortly after the Civil War, shortly after the gold rush here in California that brought the most people in one place at one time, and yes, it was about money, trying to make it rich, and that idea manifested as a thing. But you know what? That continues. It continues here in California. California for thousands of years has lived on about approximately 300,000 and the population for millennia. We're now over 30 million people living on the same soil. The new goal has been replaced by silicon. Silicon being the new goal that continues to bring people and diversity here to the region. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because
Life thrives at the intersection of life. Think about the big scale of things and the planet. Most of the world's population lives at these larger intersections called land meeting water. Whether it's the ocean, whether it's the river, for thousands and thousands of years, we thrive at the intersections, the big ones, the small ones. It's where life is. It's life, it's alive, and it's also challenging. Being next to the ocean, there's erosion, there's all these things happening, yet we continue to be here. How many times have we enjoyed moments at these big intersections where land is getting water and simply gazing at the other being different than land, is a soothing spiritual experience. I lift these up because these are universals.
These are something that's been happening with all of us as humans, trying to figure out life here for thousands and thousands of years. And this is also addressing the healing ministry of Jesus Christ. We meet these intersections in our daily life, and we have the opportunity again and again to heal and have those opportunities of healing again and again. The Garden Church is a good example of a ministry that meets another intersection of life. And we have those that are helping to make that happen, those that are definitely have housing, and those meaning those what we call temporarily unhoused, those without a house. Having those engagements, different intersections of life. And I'm going to share a story going back to Amor Ministries in Tecate, Mexico. Back in 1999, I joined with other groups. We went to Tijuana and then over to Tecate. It's right along the wall. Yes, another intersection that has a lot of charged ideology and another focus of attention. But where there we were, in Tecate, and Amor Ministry, Amor means love in Spanish. And what we're there with various church organizations. We're all there as well. We're youth involved in building a house for a family that couldn't afford a house. We built a house in 3 days. The first day we laid the foundation. Second day, as a team, you put up all the structure. And day three, you put on the roof, the windows, and we're filling doors and windows. 3 days, a house, multiple families living in it. That's powerful. A powerful experience of something I didn't think was possible. How can we build a house in 3 days? And there we are as a community. And the beautiful thing about all that was happening on that side of the wall and the border was something I had anticipated, which was community showing up in ways that I didn't see on this side. In the afternoon, it would be about 40 kids coming to play soccer on the dirt street. The lady who makes tortillas every day would come around and ask us if we wanted something. We'd go to the other neighbors. The sense of community is radically different. The thing that was most amazing, I experienced this in Nepal, Mexico, other countries, the sense of community. They may be physically poor, but yet spiritually rich because of community. And they're learning this about what the secret is to living a long life. You may be surprised. Your social connections, people, and other people in your life having deep connections. That is the secret to living a long, healthy life. It's not too mysterious, especially when you've experienced, like I've experienced in other ways, of people coming together to celebrate the day, the moment, the community. So how can we do this given our context of here, where we are, and where we're going, and what we're going to do the rest of our day and weeks to come? I love the quote from Einstein, who says, "No problem can be solved from the same level of consciousness that created it." Think about that for just a moment, about everything out there that is polarizing, whether it's politics, whether it's religion, anything on the spectrum, and any social issue. Generally, there's a counter to what is presented, and those are all polarities. If you shift your consciousness to a different level, That is where actual change happens in the world. That is the reason why I see the healing story here with Jesus, where the entire city comes to be healed. They see and feel and sense a different level and order of consciousness. And they understand that they are not there. They need healing. So how can we move through life spiritually centered and grounded? How can we live out that life that is there in Isaiah 40, verses 31? Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What is the quality of our waiting at the intersections of life? That could be, as I've already mentioned, those physical intersections here, waiting in the grocery line at the store, getting through TSA security at the airport. We spend a lot of our time waiting. What are we waiting for? Actually, the better question is, how are we waiting? One secret is not to give this world 100% of our attention all the time. Retaining some significant portion, some percentage, within our physical body, in that spiritual dimension that is always there, anchors us spiritually, doesn't allow our mind to wander out there and give it 100% of the attention that it's trying to get. And I'll leave us with one story here, which is the challenge of learning any of this and applying it to our life. It's going to the Transfiguration story on the mountain, where Peter, James, and John are led up the mountain, where Jesus reveals himself to them in a very powerful spiritual way, where they describe it as Jesus' face shining like the sun. And you can imagine that moment, where they're there and they see Jesus reveal himself in this powerful way, where the only description that can fit is his face shines like the sun. And it is such a powerful moment that Peter, wanting to continue to experience this, says, how can we stay here longer? I'm ready to pitch some tents here. Let's make a tent and let's stay here, right here, and enjoy this. I think the real lesson in there is taking anything. If it's a feeling you've sensed in this sacred space, in this, not quite a mountain, but at least a hill overlooking a large intersection of land and water, to come from that spiritual height and retain some of that and living that out in small ways for the rest of your days walking this earth. How to retain some of that spiritual height. Truth is on our side. God is on the side of justice. The arc of the moral universe is long, Martin Luther King Jr. said famously. But it bends towards justice. May the Lord so help us all to be change agents of justice in our world.